Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. Appreciate you being with us. I'm going to give Brother Billy a few minutes and the tardy bell's running, so I guess I better start. So, but it's good to see you this morning. Appreciate your being with us as we continue our study on the book of Revelations. You just check your bulletin. I've not had an opportunity to look at it this morning. And look at those things which are coming up for us as we gather together. A lot of sickness, a lot of needs in our church families. I've just continued to pray one for another. You know, we need to pray one for another whether we're sick or not. Everybody needs each other's prayers and support in the world we live in today. Well, I do thank you for being here with us this morning. And I thank those who might be thankful for those who might be listening in by way of internet today. If you will, bow with us for just a word of prayer, and then we're going to look at Revelation. We're going to begin in the latter part of 13. We're going to look back at a thing or two from last Sunday. So, Lord, again today as we gather together and open your precious word and study from therein. We know that to understand your precious word, you must lead, guide, and direct by the work of your precious Holy Spirit. And today, Lord, we'd ask that you'd make it clear to us and help us to understand. Lord, we know that you are an almighty God. You are the one and only God. There is no other. And Lord, you have set a plan from beginning to this day and forward as we look on to eternity. And we know that your plan is going to be fulfilled. Nothing will be missing. So we ask you, Lord, to help us to see those things that you have had written in your precious word in the book of Revelations. Lord, bless those who have special needs today. Touch those who are sick. Watch over and care for us. Thanking you for all the blessings of life. We thank you most of all for the fact that you saved us by your marvelous grace through the sacrifice given by your precious Son. Bless now as we fellowship together. Keep us humble that you might be exalted, because it's none of us and all of you. Bless now as only you can. In the name of Christ we do pray. Amen. I want us to look for just a moment now at back in the 13th chapter, the latter part of the chapter, and that will help us come into where we're going to be as we begin in that chapter number 11, I mean verse number 11 of that 13th chapter. Now, when we look at the book of Revelations, I was trying to figure out some way I might explain this to you. And I am thinking about a volcano and a mountain that's erupted. And we see the lava coming out of the mountain and coming down the mountain. And you see it don't flow in a straight line. You'll see that lava breaking off in different directions. But it's all headed toward the bottom of the hill, to the finish point, to the time it'll flatten out and stop. And when we look at the book of Revelations, we see those similar branches as they go off, but they're going to the same place. They're going to the end of the movement. And as we look at Revelations, that's what we need to look at and think about, because many times in our study, and that will be one of those situations today, we'll have the Battle of Armageddon mentioned here in these scriptures, but you've got to get way on over in the latter part of Revelation until we have the true battle of Armageddon. So look with me, if you will. I'm a little bit hoarse, so Lord willing, we'll get through it. Now, if we look let me just back up just a little bit for you. I want to do that. In the 14th chapter, and we looked at started the 9th verse down through the 13th, and we looked at the 9th verse, the third angel followed and said with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Now, if you think there's not a hell, we don't need to be talking about hell in God's Word. You just will erase that verse on God's Word. Because where is their torment going to be? Where is the wrath going to be poured out? Now, you know, when we look at God's Word, in the beginning, God set a plan in order. Now, if we look at John 3:16, he said he so loved the world, right? And he gave his only begotten Son. But now, if we continue to read a little bit farther in the next few verses in the third chapter of John, and it talks about who believeth not is what? Condemned already. We read in God's Word that he is patient, and he is what? He's long-suffering. Now, we say, well, it's a long ways from here to California. But what does that tell us? It's a long ways there, but you can get there. They will be, if you start from here to California, yeah, it's a long ways, but the trip was going to end when you get there. And he says, the Lord is patient and long-suffering. Now, that tells me that there's an end. He says it's slow to anger too, does it not? But it says he's slow to anger. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures to you this morning. In the book of Isaiah, we're going to look at some. We're going to look at several places. And as we look at those scriptures and we look at Revelations, this is not the picture that the world paints of God. You know, just tell me how loving he is and how kind he is and how gracious he is. And Lord, we know that he is. Because if he was not kind, and if he was not gracious, and if he was not merciful, and he was not loving, and if he was not long-suffering, every one of us would be on the way to an eternal hell with no hope. But thanks be to God, he is patient and long-suffering. So now let's look. It says here, it talks about in that verse number 10, it says, the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without what? Without mixture. Now it's fixing to come full force. Full force, full strength. It's not going to be watered down one bit in the world. And he says, those who follow Antichrist, those who are part of Satan's house, shall drink of that wrath of God. And he says he's going to do it in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, which is the Son of God. And there's and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for how long? Forever and ever. And they shall not rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. And he said, here is patience of the saints. Here are they that kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now, it's amazing how he's talked about all this wrath. And all of a sudden, he comes back and it talks about the love and mercy of God. And all those saints and all those who have not received the mark of the beast, not bowed to his image, who have took the sentence of death, and that's what they've took, if they've upheld and believed in Christ and God, they've sentenced themselves to death. And in this 12th verse, he says, and here is patience of the saints. He says, y'all just hang on for a while. Just be patient. I'm still in control. I'm still God. He says, here's the patience of saints. Here are they that kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Notice, what is going to happen to those who have kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ that we see in verse number 12? This tells you what's going to happen to them, because he says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, from now on. These who have stood for him in the tribulation, and these who are standing for him in the tribulation, are going to die. But he says, y'all just hang on. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest. They may do what? They may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's a whole different position than what we read in those who have took the mark of the beast and followed Satan in the first verses that we read. And then we come down to number 14. And I looked, and behold. So let me read just a thing or two for you here now as we go on in and head to this 14th chapter. He says, I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a what? A sharp sickle. Now he says he's sitting on a white cloud. Many times in Old Testament scripture, when we looked at the whiteness and the brightness, the Shekinah glory of God, the cloud that filled the temple, here we have God and Christ together. This God himself, and upon the cloud is one like the Son of Man. And here God and Christ are fulfilling that the scriptures have said. The wrath of God is fixed to come. He has now got a golden crown. He don't have a crown of thorns anymore. He is King of kings, and he is Lord of lords. And all this has been turned over to him by God to do, and he's fixing to do and fulfill that God has planned. Notice it says in the latter part of that verse, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and do what? And reap. You know, it takes a period of time before we get to the point that we are here. You think about a crop. Well, you plant a crop, and it's a pretty good period of time from the time that that seed's planted till that crop grows and that crop develops, and then it's going to be harvested. There's a period of time. And here we've seen a period of time since creation. And time is still going on today. We don't know how much longer before the rapture take place, but we know time's going on. We're headed toward these things that we're reading about in the book of Revelation. But notice, he says, he's cried with a loud voice, and said, thrust in thy sickle and reap. So now it's getting to be harvest time, right? Why? For the time is come. Another hour in God's timetable. For thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is what? Is ripe. It's ready. You know, there was a period of time until we got to the flood, was it not? But the flood came, didn't it? Well, it's been a period of time since. And we're headed now to the rapture and the tribulation. And he said, he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, who's doing this? Who is the one that's sitting on the cloud? Who's the one that's got the sickle in his right hand? Who's the one that's cast in the sickle? Who's the one that's doing the reaping? No, it's the Son of God that's doing this. This don't sound like the Christ that suffered on dying on the cross too much, does it? Does not sound much like that God that's such a loving and kind and merciful God. I said he's long-suffering and patient, but there's an end to it. And here we see that taking place. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. And he also having a sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Angel thrust in the sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it in the great wine press of what? Of the wrath of God. Christ is doing the harvest and he's putting it in the wine press of the wrath of God. But there's something that I want us to kind of look at a little bit and think about as we look at these verses together. I'm going to read you something in Isaiah that might, a couple of places in Isaiah I'd like for us to read this morning together. First one in the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah. This won't sound like the God we know. We begin with the first verse, because I want you to notice here that as we look at verse number 18, when another angel came out. Now, we've already seen in verse number 16, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. You'd think he did all the reaping at that time. But then we have another angel here, and he says, I need you to do something. And this angel, he said, came out from the altar, which had power of fire, and cried, threw in that sickle. And he says he thrust in the sickle and gathered the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And I think when we look at that particular verse, that particular verse has to do with Israel and God's dealing with the nation of Israel. Now, we've already seen that there's a raiment of those who are placed in a safe place during the tribulation period that they couldn't be gotten to by Satan. They're reserved, and they're reserved there because they are God's true chosen people, the nation of Israel. But I believe there's a large number of Jews that are still here during the tribulation period that's going to face the same thing that the Gentiles who don't know Christ are going to face during tribulation. Now, let's go back for just a moment and look at a thing or two in the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah, and beginning at verse number 1. He said, "Now I was saying to my beloved," well-beloved, notice, "I was saying to," you don't just say beloved, does he? He says, "well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." Now, who's his well-beloved? His well-beloved is Israel. We're talking now about the nation of Israel. Now watch. "And he fenced it. He gathered out the stones therein and planted it with the choice vine and built a tower in the midst of it," that's to watch over it, "and also made a winepress therein." Keep you straight. "And he looked that it should bring forth grapes." And what did it do? It brought forth some kind of grapes. What were they? It brought forth wild grapes. Now, if you look, he's done all these things that it might be prosperous. He's done all these things for the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel might live for him, bring glory to his name, his chosen people. He says, "And now, O habitation of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth," what? "Wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come upon up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it," no blessings upon it. They're taken away. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is" what? "Is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant, and he looketh for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." Now, while you're in the book of Isaiah, I want you to turn over to 63, chapter number 63. in Isaiah. And you tell me if it sounds like the God that everybody says he is. And now, not we're downgrading God. What we're doing as we look this morning is that we're seeing when God says something, he does it. When God promises something, he does it. He fulfills every promise that he's ever promised. Now, if we go to the 63rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we begin to read in verse number 2. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garment is like him that treadeth in the wine flat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will treat them in my anger and trap them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my garments. For the day of what? Vengeance. What does the Lord say in his precious word? He says, vengeance is what? Is mine. So he is a God of vengeance. There comes a time that his patience runs out. And he says here, vengeance is mine. He says, the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury is upon me. And he says, I will tread down the people in my anger and make them drink in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. How would you like to be in that position with the Lord? In Hosea, the 10th chapter, one through four. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars, and he shall spoil their images. Does that sound like the God that we think about daily? For now they shall say, we have no king because we fear not the Lord. What then shall a king do for us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely, and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as a hemlock in the furrows of the field. I see that he's a God of judgment also as we look at these things. In the book of Matthew, chapter 21, we'll read a parable. Beginning with verse number 33. Now, in the parable, there was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husband that he might receive the fruit of it. Now, if you'll notice, when we've been talking about these vineyards, when we talked about in Isaiah, he said he planted a vineyard and he took the stones out. He put a tower in it. God's watching over. But he also put a wine press in it. He's also a judge in the process of it. He's always judged the nation of Israel, corrected the nation of Israel. He's had to do a lot to keep the nation of Israel in line, so to speak, as we look through the history of the nation of Israel. And here in Matthew, we find there's a tower and there's a wine press. And he sent servants, it says, to gather the fruit thereof. Notice he'd gone to a far country. And it says in verse number 35, my husband took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Does that remind you anything that's happened to the apostles during their ministry here on this earth? And he sent another servant more than the first, and they did unto him likewise. But, here's a but. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. 38 starts with a but. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, he will do unto those husbandmen. And they said unto him, we will miserably destroy those wicked men, and we'll let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their season. The nation of Israel rejected him. He turned to us, the Gentiles. Aren't you glad that he gave us an opportunity to know him? Well, in the book of Matthew, I'm going to turn over to the 27th chapter. And we have here in the 27th chapter a statement made that's one of the worst statements that's ever been made by people. Because when they made this statement, they basically put a curse on their nation. I don't know whether you'd ever thought about this or not, but I want you to think on this a little bit now as we look at this. Verse number 22. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all said unto him, let him do what? Be crucified. And of course, Pilate says, wash your hands. He's not. Let me just go ahead and read it. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took a water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Look at verse number 25. Then answered all the people and said, what? His blood be on us and. This next phrase is a terrible phrase too. Not only on us, but on our children. And I think that when we look here in Revelations, and we look at this last angel, we have some reference to the nation of Israel, the vine that brought forth sour grapes, so to speak. And he says, now they're ready to be harvested too. Now, I want you to think about something with me just a moment when I'm saying this. When we looked in Isaiah, the fifth chapter, and he planted that vineyard, what did he do? He put a hedge around it, right? He took all the stones out of it, right? He said, in fact of business, he says, what more could I do? Or what more could I have done? And what we have seen, not only through God's word, but through history, we've seen that God has done what to the nation of Israel? He has protected them, watched over them, and cared for them. Otherwise, they would have been destroyed. You take a nation that's not as big as your thumbnail compared to the world, that not only is that 81 miles wide and somewhere like 200 miles long, and they can't anybody do anything with it. You know why they can't? Because God still got that hedge around it, so to speak. And he's still on the throne, he's on the tower, and he's still looking after the nation of Israel. But in the process of looking after the nation of Israel and caring for the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel have turned and not received him, his son as Messiah, there has also been some wine press in the nation of Israel. They've done a lot of suffering. There is no other nation in all the world, I don't care how big it was, that could have survived what Israel has survived if God had not had his hands on around them. But they've been in his watch care. But what we see now, as we look at Revelations, and we look at this angel in this 18th verse, what's he doing? He's removing the hedge. And now, the nation of Israel, the Jews, are just like anybody else that's on this earth during the tribulation period. They're vulnerable to the Antichrist. And they're going to suffer just like everybody else. But even in all that, remember that little remnant that he said he put on, the woman that he put on eagle's wings, and he carried her to a place prepared by God that she might be preserved. He still got his preserved little nation of Israel, because he's going to fulfill a promise to the nation of Israel that he's going to be an earthly king. So there's some Jews going to go through the tribulation period, many Jews, and not be killed. And they go walk in the millennial. But I believe here that we see that the nation of Israel as a whole now, the hedge is gone, and they're vulnerable. Back in the 14th, in chapter number 14, and we look at verse number 9. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it in the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, we have reference even here to the Battle of Armageddon, which is not taking place yet, but it's going to. And for, hard for us to comprehend, but probably land of Palestine, close to 200 miles in a valley that's going to be 4 foot deep blood. Now, if you want to figure out what the average gallon of blood is in a person, and then you figure out how many gallons it's going to take to fill up that valley, that's going to be a slaughter like it's never been seen or thought of before. But the wrath of God will be poured out then like it's never been poured out. Told my time gone. I didn't even get to the 15th chapter. Well, we'll pick up, Lord willing. We'll pick up next Sunday, and it's fixing to get. If you think we've seen some hard things in the book of Revelation, as the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. Thank you for your presence today. Lord bless.